John chapter 10 in your Bibles. John chapter 10. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. The title of the message today is The Voice of God. The Voice of God. John chapter 10, beginning there with verse 1. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, we're going to be looking at John 10 in a greater detail just momentarily. But remember, if you would, please, the title of the message is The Voice of God. Scripture teaches us that God speaks. He is the divine person, and since he is a divine person, he has all the traits of personality. One of those traits is speech. Have you ever stopped to think about this? How did the world come into existence? Well, listen to Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. Here's what the scripture says. By the word of God were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers up the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Note, if you would, the Bible keeps saying, by the word of the Lord, by the breath of his mouth, he spake. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. If you were to take the time to read Genesis chapter 1, you will find one phrase that is repeated over and over, and that is this phrase, and God said. Literally, God spoke the world into existence. But interestingly, the very first time we find the word voice in the Bible is found in Genesis 3 and verse 8, where God comes to Adam and Eve after they have sinned, and we read, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now notice, if you would, they heard the voice of God. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to hear the voice of God? Now let me tell you something. I can assure you it would be a major difference to hear the voice of God in grace and mercy than it is to hear the voice of God in anger and wrath. Amen. I can assure you that there are times when we really and truly want to hear the word of God or the voice of God, and there are times when sinners certainly do not want to hear that voice. But Scripture begins with the voice of God in Genesis 3, when God confronts Adam and Eve for their rebellion and their sin, and then the last time we hear the word voice in reference to God is found in Revelation 21 in verse 3, where it is declared, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Whenever you and I think of the voice of God, we normally think of a great voice. We normally think of a booming voice, one that everyone can hear. For instance, we think of the voice of God. We think of thunder rolling in the heaven and God speaking. However, that is not necessarily always the case. Do you remember when Elijah had won the great tournament on Mount Carmel? Jezebel threatened him, and Elijah, the Bible tells us, ran. And he sat down under a juniper tree and said, "Lord," said, "I'm the only one left. Just go ahead and kill me and get it over with." And God says, "No, that's not what's going to happen." And God fed him with a raven, and God sent him to the mountain. And when he heard all this great earthquake, guess what? God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and God wasn't in the fire. And in 1 Kings 19 and verse 12, we read this, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice." Isn't that interesting? God spoke in a still, small voice. Do you realize sometimes God speaks where only one individual can hear? And sometimes when God speaks, listen carefully, although people are instructed, they still literally do not hear. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Job, chapter 33, and let me show you something. Job 33, and let's begin reading there with verse 14. Job 33 and verse 14. God can speak in numerous ways. Job 33 and verse 14, look what the Bible says. Job 33, verse 14, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." So sometimes God speaks, and men really do not understand it's even God speaking. Now watch, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man." Isn't that interesting? That sometimes God speaks to us when we're totally unconscious, in the sense that we don't even know that God's speaking to us. God puts things in our subconscious. God put things in our minds that all of a sudden we wake up the next day and say, "You know, this is what needs to be done." And God has spoken to us and we don't even realize it. Now, there's a good illustration in the Bible of when God speaks and only one person hears. For instance, if you look in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 9, you remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who of course became the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, beginning there with verse 6, Acts 9, verse 6, after our Lord has confronted the Apostle Paul, Acts 9 and verse 6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice or hearing a sound, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus." Now, notice if you would, they heard sound, but they did not necessarily hear God speaking to them as the Apostle Paul did. And further on in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul gives his testimony, he again says that he is the only one who heard God speak. They may have heard a noise, but they did not hear when God spoke unto the Apostle Paul. For instance, he says, "But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." So God then may speak in a booming voice, or he may speak in a still small voice, or he may speak where only one person hears or just a few people hear. But the voice of God has been heard, and it shall continue to be heard. But let's ask ourselves this question. How in the world does God speak? How does God speak in such a way that he is heard. Let me ask it another way. How does a voice manifest itself? And the answer is in words. We only recognize a voice when someone speaks. We know that God has spoken because of His Word. When we hear the Word of God, we are hearing the voice of God. Now, let me quote a verse that everyone knows, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Listen carefully. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But now listen, when the Bible says, and all Scripture is inspired of God. The word inspired is the Greek word theopneustos, and it literally means God exhaled or God breathed. So God literally breathed His word out of His mouth. Now, look in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We know that the Bible is the written word of God. Look in John 1, verses 1 through 3. Here you're going to see that, of course, Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. Notice John 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Note Jesus Christ, the living Word, has been made flesh. Now look in verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Whoa. Note if you would please, Jesus Christ has declared God the Father. How did Christ declare God the Father? Now the word declare in John 1 verse 18 means to declare. It means to unfold. It means to reveal. How did Jesus Christ reveal the Father? Well, do you remember that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 when the Word of God says, and without all controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ said, I go to the Father. You know what Philip said? Philip said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. That'll be sufficient. Just show us the Father. And in John 14 in verse 9, Jesus Christ said this to Philip. Have I been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Did you hear what he said? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus Christ, the living Word, is indeed the voice of God. Now, I want you to go back in your Bibles to John chapter 10, because we're going to be looking at this passage. I'm just showing you that God speaks, and God speaks with words, and the written Word is His Scripture, but the living Word is Jesus Christ. And notice, if you would please, the Bible says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Well, the Bible tells us that the sheep hears the voice of Jesus Christ. It is another declaration that Jesus Christ is God. You must remember that God spoke powerfully in creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be water, and there was water. Let there be earth, and there was earth. In other words, God literally spoke the world into existence. God's voice has power, and God created life by His voice, by His word. Jesus Christ, who is God, likewise creates life by His word. Do you remember the passage? Don't turn there, but do you remember in John chapter 11 when Lazarus had died? And Jesus told His disciples that I go to awaken him out of his sleep. And the disciples said, Lord, if he's asleep, he does well. Our Lord said, no, you don't understand. He's dead. And when he got to where Lazarus was, Martha said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. And Lazarus, or our Lord, said to Martha, did I not tell you that you'd believe that you'd see the glory of God? And Jesus went to the tomb, and here's what he said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He that was bound with grave clothes, the Bible says, came forth. You know what the Bible says in John 5 and verse 26? Listen carefully. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ created the world. Jesus Christ is the living word. And when Jesus Christ speaks, he is the voice of God. Now, in John chapter 10, we learn a number of truths concerning Christ. And I certainly can't preach all of these, but the scripture tells us that Christ is the door. In fact, Christ is the only door. He says in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. In other words, the only lawful saving way into the sheepfold is through Jesus Christ. Anyone who denies, denounces, denigrates, and seeks to destroy Christ as the only door of salvation is a liar, a thief, and a robber. Isn't that simple? Isn't that what Christ said? Anyone who tries to get in any other way. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, and if you haven't, I wish that you would. When Christian is on his way to the celestial city, he's there on that path, and all of a sudden, two men start climbing up over the wall to get on the path with him. And of course, they're thieves, and they're robbers, and they're liars, and they don't stay on the path for long, that's for sure. But Jesus Christ said he is indeed the door. He's not only the door, he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd does not flee when the wolf approaches. In fact, the good shepherd not only protects the sheep, but the scripture tells us he gives his life for the sheep. Now, let me point something out. Look in verse 1 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. One of the problems that you and I have is we know nothing about sheep. And we know nothing about ancient traditions, especially in Palestine. We know enough to know that cowboys hate sheep. You know why cowboys hate sheep? Well, cows, when they eat grass, they'll just nip it off, but sheep will pull it up by the root and will destroy the pasture. So cowboys hate sheep because they'll destroy. I never will forget, I taught a young rancher in college. He was from Colorado. He hated sheep, and he called them ranch maggots. I mean, you know, the little white fuzzy thing and the little, that's what he, and that's what cowboys refer to sheep as, ranch maggots. And so when Lacey was little, we were out west and tripping, Lacey was with us, and we passed a field of sheep, and I said, well, there's some ranch maggots. Well, a couple hours later, we passed another field, had some sheep in it, and Lacey was going to repeat what I said. She said, well, look, there's a bunch of farm ticks right there. I said, no, it's ranch maggots, sugar, not farm ticks. I mean, you know. But notice, if you would, what he says in verse 1. Notice, if you would, what he says in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but then he says, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So here is a sheepfold. Evidently there are walls and there is only one door. Now listen to what A.W. Pink wrote, and he's giving us some background. He says this, in Palestine, which in the pastoral sections was infested with wild beasts, there was in each village a large sheepfold, which was the common property of the native farmers. This sheepfold was protected by a wall sometimes of 10 or 12 feet high. When night fell, a number of different shepherds would lead their flocks up to the door of the fold through which they passed, leaving them in the care of the porter while they went home and or sought lodging. At the door, the porter lay on the ground through the night, ready to protect the sheep against thieves and robbers or against wild animals which might scale the walls. In the morning, the different shepherds returned. The porter would allow each one to enter in through the door, calling by name the sheep which belonged to his flock. The sheep would respond to his voice, and he, the shepherd, would lead them out to pasture. In the lesson before us, this is what the Lord uses as a figure or proverb. So the sheepfold then was usually rather large. It contained walls. Sometimes it had brambles or thorns up on top. There was only one way in and one way out. And the porter, or the one who was there to protect those sheep, he slept in the doorway. So no one could come in without getting over him. Nothing could come in. And the only way that anything would ever try, usually, would be trying to climb up over the wall. If you climbed up over the wall to try to get to the sheep, then you were either a wild animal, or you were a robber, or you were a thief. Now, it's interesting to note, and I can give you this in other documentation as well, but it's not only interesting to note, it's important to note that shepherds gave names to their sheep. Every sheep not only recognized the voice of the shepherd, every sheep knew his own name. Even when the flocks were mingled together, the shepherd could always come and speedily separate them, call out his own sheep, because every sheep recognized his name and recognized the voice of the shepherd. Now, there are a number of truths I want to share with you today concerning this. I want you to look in verse 3. Remember now that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And in verse 3, the Bible says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, watch carefully. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Well, what can we learn from this verse? First, and very importantly, Christ does have a flock. Christ does have a people that have been given unto him by the Father. If you would look in John 17... John 17 is the high priestly prayer of our Lord. And in this prayer, our Lord makes it exceedingly clear that there have been a people given unto him by the Father. Notice in John 17, let's read verse 2. John 17, verse 2. In fact, let's read verse 1 just so that you can see it as the prayer. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now watch verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to how many? As many as thou hast given him. Did the Father give a people or a flock to Christ? The answer is yes. Skip down to verse 6. Notice, if you would, again what our Lord says. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Note, if you would, twice in verse 6, once again, our Lord says to the Father, you've given me a group. You've given me a flock. You've given me a people. Skip down, if you would, to verse 9. We're talking about this same flock, this same people. Our Lord says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So again, our Lord says, you've given me a people. Skip down to verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Notice once again he says, you've given me a people. Look in verse 24. Our Lord prays, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Notice he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Over and over in John 17, Jesus Christ says that the Father has given him a people. The Father has given him a flock. So, very obviously, there are indeed some that have been given to Christ. In fact, Christ repeats this truth so often in Scripture. It is amazing that we do not consider it. We do not think about it. We don't believe it, but it's true. But if you look back in your Bibles at John 6 and verse 37, look at what our Lord says. After having looked at John 17 and seen verse 2, 6, 9, 11, and 24, where our Lord says that the Father had given him a people. Now in John 6 and verse 37, our Lord says this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that interesting? All that the Father giveth me. Has the Father given Christ a people? Yes. Has the Father given Christ a flock? And the answer is yes. Now notice what our Lord said. Go back to John chapter 10. Look if you would please. He says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Note if you would please, the sheep hear his voice. Others may not hear it. Others may not perceive it. Others may not understand it. Others may not believe it. But his sheep most certainly do. Our Heavenly Father calls his sheep by name. And listen carefully. With God the Father, we are not a number. We have a name. It's interesting, even as you read through the Old Testament, God gives us the same truth. For instance, go back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Hold John 10. We're not through there. Go back to Exodus chapter 33 and look at verse 17. Exodus 33 and verse 17. Notice what God says to Moses. Exodus 33, verse 17. Look what he says. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know thee by name. Turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah 43 and look at verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Notice what God says. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine. Look in Isaiah 45 and verse 3. Isaiah 45 and verse 3. God says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Notice God calls his own by name. I want you to go in your Bibles to John chapter 20, and let me show you a wonderful illustration of this truth. Remember, the scripture says he calleth his own sheep by name, and they know him. Now watch what happened in John chapter 20, if you would. Everyone knows the story about how our Lord was crucified, how he's buried. It's the third day, of course. John 20 and verse 11, because Mary gets there to the sepulcher, and our Lord, of course, is not there. He is risen. Watch John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him. So the body is gone, because Christ is risen. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, note, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Note carefully. She supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast taken or laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. Did you notice that? Jesus stood in his resurrected form, and she did not know who he was. She thought he was the gardener. But when he said, Mary, she immediately said, Master. His sheep know his voice. And he calls his own by name. Now, look in your Bibles to John 10 and verse 14. Notice our Lord says this same truth again. John 10, verse 14. Our Lord says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So here's the first truth that we see from John 10 and verse 3, that the Father has given Christ a people. He's given Christ a flock, and they know his voice. Now, here's the second truth we learn from this. And this second truth should also be obvious by way of contrast from the first truth. Here it is. Those who are not his sheep do not hear his voice, and he does not call them by name. Those who are not his sheep do not hear his voice, and he does not call them by name. I cannot call your dog by name, because I don't know who your dog is. I don't know what his name is. I never named him. And probably if I did call him, he would not recognize my voice anyhow. He would not obey me. Why? I'm not his master. The same is true with our Lord's sheep. they hear His voice and they obey Him. But those who are not His sheep do not hear His voice and do not obey Him. Look in John 10, beginning there with verse 24. Maybe you will believe this from the word of our Lord. He says it with His own lips. John 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us to doubt? If Thou be the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But you believe not, because you're not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. What did He say? I'll tell you why you don't believe. I'll tell you why you don't hear Me. You're not My sheep. You're not Mine. You know, our Lord didn't just say this in John 10. Look what He said in John 8 and verse 47. John 8, verse 47. Isn't this amazing? John 8, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Look what He tells these unbelieving Jews. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Wow. He said, you don't hear because you're not of God. You don't hear My voice and you don't believe Me and you don't follow Me because you're not My sheep. Look what He said in John 12. Let's begin there with verse 37. John 12, verse 37. Watch carefully. John 12, verse 37. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Notice, if you would, those who are not our Lord's sheep, they do not hear His voice, they do not obey Him, they do not follow Him, they do not believe. So it's very interesting. On the one hand, our Lord has a sheep. He has a flock. He's a shepherd. He said, all My sheep hear My voice. On the other hand, those who are not His sheep do not hear His voice, and they do not believe in Him. Let me tell you something. If you have not heard the voice of Jesus Christ, if you have not been called by name, if you do not believe in Him, if you do not hear Him and obey Him, you should be concerned. You know what Peter said in 2 Peter 1:10? He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He said, you better make sure you have been effectually called. You better make sure you've heard the voice of the Son of God. You better make sure that He's called you by name. So from John 10 and verse 3 especially, we've gotten two truths so far. Number one, Christ has a people that have been given Him of the Father. Number two, those who are not His do not hear Him, do not follow Him, and do not obey Him. Now here's a third truth. Go back to John 10 and let's read verses 3 and 4 together. John 10, verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Isn't this interesting? His sheep follow him. He leads them. They follow. Listen carefully. shepherds always lead the flock. Sheep do not determine where they're going to graze. Sheep do not determine where they're going to eat, where they're going, or what they will do. It is the shepherd that determines everything. Listen carefully. Sheep have one responsibility. That is to follow the shepherd. That's it. Look in John 6. We're in the book of John. Look in John 6. If I took the time to read John 6, you would find that Jesus is proclaiming himself as the bread of life. He is the one who says that he is the bread of life. He came down from heaven that he might give life. And he says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life in him. Now, contrary to the Roman Catholic Church, that passage does not teach transubstantiation. Jesus is teaching that we who have been genuinely saved by his grace live in him and by him and through him, and we're nothing without him. But Jesus is teaching that he is the true bread of life, and that as physical bread nourishes our body, so he, the spiritual bread, nourishes our soul. Now watch this. In John 6 and verse 60, after he is taught that he is the bread of life, verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In other words, this is too difficult for us to swallow. We can't believe this. Notice it's many of his disciples. That is, many of his professing disciples. Well, skip down in your Bibles to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Boy, the teaching got tough. And they said, we can't stomach this. We can't believe this. We're not going to listen to this. We're not going to obey this. We're not going to follow this. Just let me call your attention to 1 John 2:19. I'm not through reading this, but what did he say in 1 John 2 and verse 19? They went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. So after they said this is a hard saying, we can't handle this. Look in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to notice something, folks. The true sheep never leave the shepherd. The true sheep know who the shepherd is. They will not forsake their shepherd, and the shepherd will not forsake them. If you have been called by Jesus Christ, you will follow Jesus Christ. He said in Luke 6 and verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say unto you? In other words, if I'm genuinely your Lord, you will obey me. If I'm genuinely your shepherd, you will follow me. He said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, then saith Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How do we know that we're really his sheep? We're following him. In John 12, look at it. You're close by. John 12. Verse 26, John 12, verse 26, our Lord said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. What did he say? If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now, let me point something out, folks. Listen carefully. The sheep have one responsibility. That's to follow the shepherd. And they're going to follow that shepherd wherever he is. He may be without the camp. He may be in persecution. He may be hated. He may be rejected. He may be despised. That's immaterial. The sheep are going where that shepherd is. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 13. Notice, if you would, what the Scripture says. Hebrews 13 and verse 13. Watch carefully. Notice, Hebrews 13, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So when Christ is kicked out of the synagogues, where do we go? Where Christ is. When Christ is kicked out of the churches, where do we go? Where Christ is. When Christ is kicked out of government, where do we go? Where Christ is. He's the shepherd. We follow the shepherd. Sheep have one responsibility, to follow the shepherd. What did he say? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Christ has been given a flock by the Father. His sheep hear his voice. They follow him. Those who are not his sheep do not hear him, do not believe him, do not follow him. Let me show you a fourth truth. Look back in John 10. Here it is again, by way of contrast. Those who do not follow Christ, but follow a stranger, are not his sheep. Notice John 10 and verse, let's read verse 3, 4, and 5. Here's verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now watch verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Isn't that amazing? Those who do not follow Christ, but rather follow strangers, do not belong to Christ. Our Lord makes it exceedingly plain in verse 5 that his sheep will not follow a stranger. They don't recognize the voice. His sheep are not going to run after some guru who denies the deity of Jesus Christ. His sheep are not going after some self-proclaimed prophet who denies the Word of God. His sheep are not going after someone who's way off in space somewhere teaching that we're all going to be absorbed in the Milky Way. No, his sheep will not listen to a stranger. They'll flee from him. They'll run from him. I read an illustration years ago about Harry Ironsides. He's been dead many years. But he said there was a man who was an outright agnostic and infidel who was speaking on a street corner, had a great crowd around him. Harry Ironsides, a preacher of the gospel, observed one simple man standing there listening intently to everything this agnostic said. After it was over, Ironsides walked up to him and said, "Well, the man was a great orator, wasn't he?" He said, "Yes, sir, he surely was." He said, "He's very convincing, wasn't he?" He said, "Yes, sir, he surely was." Ironsides looked at the man, who was a very simple man, and said, "I suppose you believed everything he said." The man looked at the preacher and said, "No, sir, I didn't believe a word he said." He said, "But you were listening intently." He said, "Yes, I was. But something inside me kept saying lies, lies. Ain't nothing but a pack of lies." See, the sheep will not listen to a stranger. They know not the voice of a stranger. And let me tell you, when anyone goes over and above and beyond the Word of God and over and above and beyond Jesus Christ, he's gone too far. There's a book, if you can get it. In fact, I have it in two volumes. It's an old set. It's written by a man by the name of Thompson. It's called The Land and the Book. And it's just history, basically, of Palestine and what went on. But I want to read you this short paragraph that Thompson wrote concerning the shepherd and the sheep in Palestine. And he says concerning John 10, this is true to the letter. The sheep are so tame and so trained that they follow their shepherd with the utmost docility. He leads them forth from the fold or from their houses in the villages, just wherever he pleases. As there are many flocks in such a place as this, each one takes a different path, and it is his business to find pasture for them, the shepherd for the sheep. It is necessary, therefore, that they should be taught to follow and not to stray away into the unfenced fields of corn which lie so temptingly on either side. Anyone that thus wanders is sure to get into trouble. The shepherd calls sharply from time to time to remind them of his presence. They know his voice and follow on. But if a stranger calls, they stop short, lift up their heads in alarm, and if it is repeated, they turn and flee because they know not the voice of a stranger. This is not the fanciful costume of a parable. It is a simple fact. I've made the experiment repeatedly. The shepherd goes before not merely to point out the way, but to see that it is practical and safe. He is armed in order to defend his charge, and in this instance, he is very courageous. Many adventures with wild beasts occur, not unlike those accounted by David in those very mountains, for though there are no lions there now, there are wolves in abundance and leopards and panthers exceedingly fierce prowl about these wild wadis. They are not infrequently attacked. They not infrequently attack the flock in the very presence of the shepherd, and he must be ready to do battle at a moment's warning. I have listened with great interest to their graphic descriptions of downright and desperate fights with these savage beasts. And when the thief and the robber come, as they come they will, the faithful shepherd has offered to put his life in his hand to defend his flock. I've known more than one case in which he's literally had to lay down his life in the contest. A poor, faithful fellow last spring, between Tiberias and Tabor, instead of fleeing, actually fought three bedouin robbers until he was hacked to pieces with their swords and died among the sheep he was defending. The sheep follow him, and a stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from the voice of a stranger. Let me make some applications. Listen carefully. The first one is this: God has spoken. Have you heard his voice? Let me show you how God has manifested his voice. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 and let's read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God has spoken. God has manifested his voice. How has he done so? Here it is. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers or different manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. In the Old Testament, sometimes he spoke in visions, sometimes in dreams. But notice verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus Christ is the voice of God. Whoever will not hear Jesus Christ does not hear the voice of God. For Jesus Christ is God. If you would go back in your Bibles to John 5, Here is the second application. John 5, and I call your attention to verses 24 and 25. John 5, verse 24. Let me read it. Our Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Listen carefully. If you do not hear our Lord's voice in regeneration unto life, you will not hear our Lord's voice in resurrection unto life. Only they that hear shall live. If you'll go back to John 10 for the third and final application, I hope this will be a comforting truth to you. Look in John 10 and verse 4. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Notice what the scripture says. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. We have no need to worry or to fear. Our Lord will never lead us except that where he has gone and where he is. He is always there. He is always leading us. And as he said in Hebrews 13 in verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It is still true of what our Lord said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? Wherever he leads us, he's already there. And we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to doubt. Wherever he leads us, he is already there. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do bow to thee, and we thank thee and we praise thee. And we're thankful that Jesus Christ is indeed the voice of God, and your word is your voice. And we must hear both. And we ask, Father, that you open our ears that we may hear, open our minds that we may understand and believe. And Father, release our wills that we may follow and obey. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.